You are tuned into the Chaos Cast, the best podcast for CFL news and CFL smack talk. And this episode is dedicated to one of our fans, Lance, and his nice face. Shout out to Lance. Brad is out this week, so I'm your host, Levi Basham, alongside John Spears. Coming up, we review the first week of the playoffs and look at the final four matchups. Who's going to take the championship and win it all? We'll find out next. All right, everybody, we're back, and sorry we missed last week. I wasn't particularly feeling well. We couldn't figure out a way of recording and getting everything going, so we decided to skip the week and get back going this week. And unfortunately, Brad's out this week. It seems like some kind of like sickness has hit the podcast. So Brad's immune system has been weakened by having the most points in the league and then not making the playoffs. And it really,
I hope it's not contagious.
It's a whirlwind and
isolated.
So get better, Brad. We're rooting for you. Better luck next year. You had a good season. Well done. Brad should be back next week. But we'll get into a little bit of what happened 2 weeks ago. We went through all those playoff scenarios and what could happen and everything that could happen. And then, like, the easiest thing happened. Like, the two teams that needed to win lost. And so there wasn't too much movement from the
top.
Sorry,
Jason.
Yeah.
I hate that.
John had, like, a nice little last month of the season just, like, ending three teams, like, playoff chances and hopes. So that must have been fun for you.
It's not what you shoot for, Levi. You know, you don't want to be the soul crusher, but
it's a way to get through the season.
It's better than nothing.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, you finished 6-8. I mean, it's finished strong, so maybe you can bring that into what you kind of did with the toilet bowl. Maybe, but we'll talk about next year. You'll bring that momentum into next year.
Maybe, yeah.
But yeah, so the teams that got in, Slop Nasty and Houdini's got the bye. Slop Nasty 1, Houdini's 2. And then Cleveland Steamers 3. Purple Bleeders 4. It's What Plants Crazy 5. Intoxicated All-Stars 6. Mm. So nothing really changed too much from that week, but that's the teams that got in. Everyone has a winning or at least an even record and got in this year, which I think is, we'll have to get our stats guys out this week, but I believe that's a little unusual. Normally there's like a 6-8 team that gets in.
Like somebody sneaks in.
So, that's teams that got in. I'm sure everyone knows by now. We'll get into the matchups that happened last week. We had It's With Plants Crave versus Team Purple Bleeders, the 4 seed versus the 5 seed. And it seemed pretty tight at first, but like my guys just kind of exploded like in the 4 o'clock games. Like I feel like I won because I had the most players in that Buffalo Detroit matchup.
Yep. That was huge. Big time.
You know, up until then it was kind of back and forth. Like CeeDee Lamb had a great game. I kind of thought I was done there, like, because Carolina couldn't defend them at all. He was basically their running back in a way. Yeah. Like, they just kept throwing behind the line of scrimmage. He'd get 8 yards, like, almost every play. The players that Lance hoped would get just didn't come through. Sam Darnold, they didn't really need much on Monday. Chicago just, like, was not in the game, so they didn't need much from him. But they were still kind of throwing to Justin Jefferson, so Justin Jefferson got more points. George Kittle on Thursday, like, that whole, like, Rams 49ers game was kind of the opposite of the Buffalo-Detroit game. Like, there was weather, just no team get it going. It ended 6-12, so that kind of hurt George Kittle. Like, I feel like that was kind of an X factor for Lance. Just Lance's team couldn't get going, and I was able to capitalize, and I beat him by almost 80 points just with, Jared Goff was 63, Gibbs 39, which, like, 39 feels low the way he was looking at him while I was watching that game.
Mm-hmm.
you know, Devonta Smith finally came through.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I did all that with a zero from my Panthers defense and Bozo bet.
Right. That's, yeah, that was a tough one. I'll tell you what, if I'm Lance, like, Isaiah Pacheco coming back, just, not to say he would have won the game, but talk about it. Since week 13, I think he came back. They basically just split his running back into two, that whole thing, and they kind of just shared evenly, and they got about 10 points apiece.
Yeah.
So I'd be, like, super upset, you know, if I'm, because, I mean, no way you're not playing Pacheco, you know, but then you're like, well, I got Kareem Hunt, like.
You just don't know who to play.
Right.
You have to play one of them.
Yeah. So it's just, you know, his team's kind of unraveling. McCormick got hurt during the game. Like, you know, he needed a miracle. But your team just, you know, you put up 260, you expect to win.
Yeah.
So it's bad timing, you know, for Lance, which is weird. I feel like the two matchups that did happen would have been better served. Now you would have been on the losing end of this, Levi, but they've been better games, you know, you and Rob versus, and then, you know, Lance versus Joey. It'd been closer in regards to, you know,
for points.
Just for far as, you know, if you're watching the scores, you're like, oh, everybody had a chance, but, you know, Lance is kind of done after the Detroit.
I had a similar game to Rob in week 14. Like, I scored 260 twice in a row, and then Rob scored 280 twice in a row. It's going to be tough to, you know, if I'm hoping to maybe see him or, you know, in the finals, and maybe I can get some redemption.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, another thing with, like, it's just like Lance's running backs, like Kenneth Walker didn't play, you know, so like it was tough to, it was just a crapshoot for him with running backs, and it just didn't work out. None of his running backs really did anything, that even the ones on his bench.
No, yeah, he just had a dismal performance.
Yeah, but Lance, he is what him and Derek talk about all the time. They make in the playoffs. They made their goal, you know, and now their season's over. Like, there's nothing more important.
Yeah, their floor is the playoffs. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, you're like, all right.
You know, good season, Lance. I feel like you're – season was maybe the most, like, chaotic. Yeah, I don't know. Like, just up and down.
Yeah.
I feel like you're going to be happy not to see these, have this team anymore, because it seemed like way too many decisions. But,
yeah.
You still had a chance to win. So.
Absolutely.
We'll move on to the 3-6 matchup. We, you know, foreshadowed a little bit that, you know, Rob and the Cleveland Steamers won 284 to 175 with Joey's. And just Joey's team, like, minus Terry McLaurin, like, couldn't get there.
Duty Waters.
Yeah. Just, like, I don't know. Just, there's another team that I feel like Joey's going to be happy not to have anymore. Just like, I don't, like, Joey typically has a lot of injuries. Like, I don't know if that's correlated or anything, but this feel like he had a ton of injuries and ton of, his team looks way different than the beginning of the season. Like, he just couldn't really piece it together.
Well, to be fair, like, he did Brock Bowers, ended up, he picked that up.
Yeah.
That was the best, like, pickup of the year.
I think Joey did make some of the best pickups of the year. He picked up Juwan Jennings, he got Brock Bowers, he got Bucky Irving.
You know, and I'm kind of disappointed in Joe, is that I feel like he should have went out with Bucky Irving in his lineup. Like, he didn't like the matchup against the Chargers or something. I get it. I'm just saying, like, obviously he didn't know David Montgomery was going to, you know, be out the rest of the season.
Yeah, but I don't think he would have benched Montgomery for him.
But, like, maybe Geno Smith or... And obviously not McLaurin, but Jennings or...
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just saying, as far as, like, he chose this guy. He was good. Like, you should have wrote him out, Joe.
Yeah.
He deserved that from you, and you deprived him of that.
I think for that grounds, he shouldn't be allowed to draft him next year.
No, he should be... Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And then Jonathan Taylor drops a touchdown.
Oh, man.
Which it wouldn't have mattered for Joey's team, but that's just like a... if I see that on the, like, early games, I'm like, oh, I'm cursed. Like, there's just no shot.
It's pie in the face. Like, what are we doing? You know, you hear it all, you know, all the commentary. Like, why are you dropping the ball? Like, how hard is it to give it to the ref once you just run to the ref?
I mean,
and hand him the ball.
Or, you know, take it past the line of scrimmage and do some kind of touchdown dance with the ball. I don't know. Like,
yeah.
Like, why are you dropping it like that?
It's insane.
Yeah. But it ultimately didn't matter. It's just that's just, you know, typical of how the season should go, I guess. And then on Rob's, what can you say? Like, it's Josh Allen plus team. Like,
well, Derrick Henry, you know.
Oh, the Derrick Henry didn't do much. Yeah, he had 13.
He didn't need him to.
Davante Adams had another big game.
That was stupid.
So like, Rob's just gonna be a tough out as long as Josh Allen's in these like shootout games.
Yes, without a question. I'd say for any of, maybe outside of Jalen Hurts, I don't know if Jalen Hurts is capable of like a 50, 60, 70 point game.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, like Lamar Allen and Burrow and these guys, like these are the, and all those guys are still alive.
Yeah.
So what does that tell you?
Yeah.
Like these quarterbacks that boom, you better have them.
For sure. Know? Like really the only thing I worry about Josh Allen is that their schedule is too easy in a way. Like they got New England this week, which like they could be winning by, you know, three touchdowns by the first, the end of the second half, and they may not take it as lightly. So like I don't foresee Josh Allen getting 56 or 76 again, but he's still gonna get like, you know, at least 30, I would assume.
Right, he could get that at halftime.
Yeah,
that's the thing, is I wouldn't fear if they did pull him, because you know he's probably got a ton of fantasy points.
Yeah.
I mean, it sucks because you want, you know, all the quarters with all the points you can get, but I feel like, you know, he's at least gonna get you 30.
Yeah. So yeah, like, Rob's team's kind of turned into a powerhouse towards the end of the season. He's going up against the Houdinis and Derek, who on bye scored 350 points. This might be like the matchup of the year coming up when we talk about it later.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I think both teams are just kind of going on, you know, chugging on all cylinders. Like, but we'll see how it turns out. Like,
I think let's back up to Derek real quick.
Yeah.
I think, you know, obviously if I scored 351 points, you know, there better be some airtime. You know, and I don't know how you feel about it. I'm kinda like, if it was me, like, what would I think? Like, yeah, I just scored the most points in the league history. But daggone, I didn't do it against anyone. So that sucks. But just how good his team is.
Yeah.
Like, it's no fluke. To me, it's no fluke that it was Derek's team that did this. The 351.
No. I mean,
just
like,
because of who he has and how good it's been.
He had the great matchups. I mean, he even talked in the text line about, like, telling people, or Joey and Rob, you're lucky that you're not playing because I have all these great matchups.
Yeah. Like,
so.
Now, would you consider this? What do you do? What do we do with it? I know some people are like, it needs an asterisk and all that other nonsense.
I'm not like the stats person. That's more Brad. Like, for me, like, you know, it's cool. I consider that points more relevant in the regular season.
Okay.
But it's scary. Like I would. This is something we're gonna be talking about until. Like,
well, it's something Derek's gonna be talking about
for sure.
You know, without.
But like, say next year or the year after, somebody scores 340, which like beats the previous
during the regular season.
Like, you know, the Derek's going, well, you didn't beat the 351.
Where would you fall on that? Like, would you say that you would recognize the 351.6?
We've never really counted. Like, I have to check with Brad, but he doesn't count points or wins
in the playoffs.
Like, he counts that as something separate. So we could maybe do something like that. I would, if we want to do like playoff points, I think that's something to consider. Like, oh, you like, that's the most points scored in the playoffs.
Right. Okay.
But, like, I don't know. Brad has never, like, added, you know, points or wins into other teams.
Right.
Career. So I would put it there, but, like, it's impressive.
I think it makes it worse for us that Derek has this, and it's not in the regular season, because we're still going to have to hear about it.
Oh, 100%. Derek.
Like, and I'd just be like, you know what? I wish it was in the regular season. Because I feel like it's like, okay, that's just part of the way fantasy works. But now there's like this gray area, which just makes it suck even worse. It's like, yeah, but, you know, I did. Which, whatever. Like,
it's not even a whooping.
The way I looked at it was during this, if we were going to do it, like, if he would have whooped everybody, I would have gave him the, if we did the, I forgot it was the playoffs and we don't do whooping the week, but I would, in my mind, is like, if he whoops every, I would give him the whooping of the week. That's what that's how I was going to do that. Mm. Like, if he whooped everybody, but he ended up not doing that because, you know, Rob put up so many points as well, and you did too. But that's where I was at with that. Like,
this was like, this week, just like, so many points. There's some huge games going on, and having a 350 point score makes a lot of sense.
Now, are you more nervous? Would you, if you're Derek, are you nervous now? Or more confident?
We kind of talked about this off year, but like last year, like coming off the bye, like I was most nervous about my semifinal matchup because I didn't score that many.
Right.
And I feel like I wouldn't be as nervous. I feel like, you know, all these players that blew up or have been doing this all year. It's not like a one out of nothing fluke. So I wouldn't be too worried. I'd be more worried about what Rob's team can do than if I was Derek, my team not doing enough.
Right.
Like, I'd be more worried about just Josh Allen blowing up.
Okay. To touch on Jeff real quick, he also had the bye.
Yeah. So
I think if I'm him, I'm like, okay, Baker Mayfield looks like he's back to where he was before all those injuries. Mm-hmm. So I'm like really loving that. And Rico Dowdle looks legit. Like, he's a he's the guy that's going to put up 100 yards, potentially a touchdown. He's, you know, RB1 the rest of the season.
He has done great. He's putting in, he's had good matchups though.
Mm-hmm.
So like I'd like to see him in a tough matchup. Which, like, I don't, we're playing against Tampa this week, which I don't think is that tough a matchup. So I would predict him to be doing just as well.
Right.
Or, you know, maybe a little less.
I mean, they're just going to run the ball.
Like, I think the matchups have been good. But although the Cowboys have played a lot better in the last month.
Yeah.
They've only lost once. And it seems like they've figured out something. So I think Rico Dowdle's been, he's been number one for a month. He's been, what is he? He is the 21st running back. Which he'll probably finish in top 20. So
probably.
But yeah, he's been pretty good. Baker's been great. I think they got McMillan now. So he's kind of filled in that Godwin role. So
right.
It's not like perfect, but they're able to run their offense, and they play Dallas next week.
Yeah, so he's definitely got, if I'm Jeff, I'm thinking, all right, I didn't score under 200 points. I'm good with what happened. I didn't lose any players and injuries, because, you know, that bye week is just like, please don't. I hope my team doesn't get destroyed.
Yeah.
You know, with a couple of key guys going down, like a Bijan went down or a Dowdle or Burrow. And you're like, God, you know, like, I got nothing out of this week and I lost everything.
Mm-hmm.
But so if I'm Jeff, I'm like, all right, I'm feeling good about going into my next week's matchup. My players look like they're performing.
Yeah.
You know, maybe a little worried of DK. Like, is he?
Yeah, DK and Mooney will probably be my biggest, like, worries for him. Oh, but Mooney, not as much anymore because they benched
Cousins. Yeah, going Michael Penix.
It's more like a, like, who knows what that's going to be.
Yeah.
With, you know, maybe Mooney, like, maybe Mooney's his guy. Maybe he's not.
Right.
Like, you won't know until he's out there. And then DK's been a mystery. I think DK's just been hurt and playing hurt.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm just like, if any worry that I came out of that bye week, it's like, all right, I got to start DK, right? Like, but dang on.
I don't know if you have to. I mean, like,
I mean, he does got Marvin Harrison Jr. on the bench, Michael Pittman, so he's got some options there. So,
yeah,
just as far as, you know, his point production in the bye week. And I think before we move on from that last week's matchup, I think we need to touch on Black Sunday put up 265.
Yeah,
beat Jason.
Brad's not here, so we're going to do a little toilet bowl talk.
Yeah, with Brad. Brad scored 265. I think he scored the most in the toilet bowl, right?
Well, like none of the teams in the toilet bowl broke 175.
Right. He would have whooped everybody almost by 100.
Yeah.
Who didn't belong in the toilet bowl?
You are what your record is. There's probably some this. Yeah, I know how Brad says he scored, but I'm sure there's some decisions he made that could have cost him a win or not. Like he beat people by a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And at some points he needed it. Like it was kind of weird. He didn't whoop a lot of teams. He only whooped twice, but scored so many points.
Right.
So like he just had some huge weeks. It's disappointing for him.
Right. You know, but the silver lining is he beat Jason in the toilet bowl.
He did beat Jason in the toilet
bowl. So I feel like we should wrap up the toilet bowl talk right now. Brad, he's 1-0. How far will he go?
I'm always, because we don't talk about it, like how does the, who, is this the person that goes 3-0?
I don't know how it works.
Like,
I don't really care.
Yeah, Rob just like crowns the winner at the end of the year.
Yeah. I mean, if you win the toilet bowl, there's a toilet seat, right?
No, you lose the toilet bowl, you get the toilet seat. And if you win, you get the plunger.
Yeah. Well, Brad is on track one of those.
Yeah, I think Brad is not going to get the toilet seat.
Right. So he's avoided that. So the Hacksaw Alliance is, he's doing his part. Now can Rob do his,
true,
you know, hold up his end of the bargain on the north side of the playoff bracket.
All right. Well, that'll do it. We'll get into the, you know, the semifinal picks. Next. All right, we're back and we're going to get into the semifinals. We got two big games. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of excitement. Everybody's been paying attention, keep seeing who can come out with the win this year. We'll start with Itzel Plants Graves, you know, defending champion. Still, they haven't been eliminated yet.
No.
Versus number one seed, Slop Nasty. And this seems pretty interesting. We already had a game on Thursday with Chargers versus Broncos. Slop Nasty had Ladd McConkey and the Broncos D. Ladd McConkey did pretty good. Like, he kind of hit his average, getting 23. Broncos disappointed a little bit, only getting 4 points. Herbert kind of lit them up, and they really couldn't get to him, and they allowed 34 points and a weird fair catch free kick field goal.
Yeah, this is insane.
Which I was pretty excited to see. Matchups are, you know, we got pretty good on my end. Jared Goff, Gibbs against Chicago. Chicago's kind of given up. A little worried they may be up, but like I've seen them just keep putting up numbers, so maybe they'll just like destroy.
Take his foot off the gas.
Especially after loss, I feel like they won't.
Right.
And then Montgomery's out, so this is just the Gibbs show.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much who I feel confident with my running backs. I right now I have Tracy and Kendra Miller in as my running backs. Not 100% if they'll be there on Sunday. It's kind of just how I feel. My other options, I have ETN, Tajay Spears. I feel I might be motivated to get Spears in if Pollard is out.
I don't know if I'm available on Sunday, Levi. You
better be on the way.
I'll do what I can.
But yeah, I'd be pretty excited if he's the only running back there. Also, there's Patrick Taylor, which like, I wouldn't be excited to play.
So are you rolling the dice on that?
I wouldn't be excited to play, but that would be rolling the dice.
Sometimes to win.
Yeah.
You gotta have some cojones.
So that's kind of my up there. Like, my wide receivers locked in. Feel pretty good about them. And then I have Anthony Richardson, quarterback. His floor is okay, even though he throws a ton of picks, and I don't want to watch him. But he'll just get, 15, 16, 17.
You're just hoping he breaks off a 50-yard
yeah,
run.
Yeah, he could just get a 50-yard touchdown. That'd be happy.
Like that. You're kind of, that's your risky plays.
Yeah.
He's your lottery ticket. Yeah.
And then I think I got the best defensive matchup of the week. I picked up Packers against New Orleans.
That's a pretty good one, yeah.
Especially with the Broncos only scoring 4, I feel like I'm going to get it. I would get an edge there. So, yeah, feel pretty good. Although, Jeff has good matchups too. He's got Baker and Joe Burrow. Baker against Dallas feels like a good matchup for him. Although, Baker seems kind of matchup-proofy. Lit up the Chargers last week. They've been on kind of they're on a playoff run.
Mm-hmm.
I think Atlanta's going to lean on Bijan with the quarterback change. Kyron Williams has been pretty good. They didn't do much last week. Although he's still got 26.
Yeah, he's been solid.
So he's kind of matchup proof. We talked about DK before. I think I can get an edge there. McMillan, I think that's kind of an X factor there. Like if McMillan gets another big game, that could be good for Jeff. And then Joe Burrow, I think Joe Burrow and Baker Mayfield are Jeff's biggest edges.
Yes,
it's a divisional matchup. Joe Burrow didn't do great last time played Cleveland, I believe. He only got 19 last time they played. So.
It was week 7. They were kind of. But if you look what he's done since week 10,
yeah,
it's been. I mean, God bless.
I'm just flying. I don't think he'll get 19. I'll say that. But it's a divisional, play, and their only way of winning is to get to Joe. But yeah, I'm gonna go. Of course, I'm gonna go with me here. I think it's gonna be pretty close though.
Yeah. This one's a tough. I'm going with Jeff, and the 50% of it's because you're the reigning national champion. Like you don't, I don't want to see a repeat. No, I don't.
Come on.
No, I feel like Jeff is his team. He's been one for a while now. He's kind of his team's been good all year, And you're on the opposite end. You kind of like things happen to go your way, and that's what you need.
I've been up and down.
Up and down, right? So as far as whose team's better, it's pretty close, especially the way Goff and Gibbs has been playing. Like, those guys, like you said, they put up 100 points last week. Yeah. I don't think you'll see that. But I think where if you don't get that, if the Goff, Gibbs, gets you, 50 points total, I think Jeff's probably got it. But because Baker and I think, Burrow, those guys can bury you, especially if Bakebo, we'll call him that for now. He kind of put up the 40. And, if he duplicates, he's playing Dallas. They're not good. Like, he pounds them, and he's putting up, he gets some rushing yards there.
But I had two other teams. Not to brag, although I'm bragging. I got all my teams this year in the playoffs, but two of my teams got eliminated last week just by Mike Evans.
Really? Oh, yeah. He killed. Yeah. He was awesome.
So, yeah. I'm definitely scared of Baker.
Right, I think if Jeff loses, it's Metcalf and McMillan. Like, those guys just don't show up. And, he's struggling. And maybe one of the two QBs doesn't have a great game. Maybe Bagbo turns into Baker. But this is what grinds my gears. So I'm going to say it. Broncos defense, number one. And I know Jeff, and I'd be the same way. He's like, how do you not play them? And then they get you their second worst outing of the season. God, that pisses me off so much when you stuff like that. You're like,
nobody thought that game was going to score that many points.
No. Like, it's terrible. It's a Thursday night. There's usually suck, and it ended up being like a 34-27 game. It's like, God dang it. So I know if I'm Jeff, I'm like mad about that. I think your defense, I think your defense is going to be fine. I think this is going to be close. I don't think no one's going to. It won't be like last week where both the matches were lopsided. I don't see that here.
Yeah. I'm just trying to, hopefully my team continues how it has been the last 2 weeks. And if it does that, then I feel
you
pretty
win.
good.
Then you win.
Yeah.
Like, I'll say that. If your team does with it, you win.
Yeah. All right. Well, that'll do for that matchup. We'll move on to the other matchup, which I would say this is the way these two teams are performing. This is the matchup of the week. Or the, you know, they've both been averaging 280, 290, basically, yeah. Last couple weeks.
Yeah.
Right now, we're recording right now where the Texans Chiefs game's going on. So we got a little bit of hint of what's going on with Rob having Nico Collins in Texans defense, which they're doing okay right now. They're about to go to halftime. But we got Josh Allen against New England, pretty good. Derrick Henry has struggled late. He might be able to bounce back. Baltimore hasn't done well against Pittsburgh this year. I feel like they may want to try it. It's hard to say what's going to go on, but this is probably, if you think of a divisional matchup, this is the two teams you probably think of, and like things go out the window there. And
it's the worst game, for everyone involved.
And both teams have players in that matchup, so it could go either way. I think maybe because of this, Rob's not playing Najee Harris at the moment. He's got him on the bench. He didn't play Justin Herbert, which we talked about before. Like, everyone thought that game was going to be low scoring. So I don't blame him for starting Aaron Rodgers over him.
No.
But yet, Rob's got both Pittsburgh running backs. He's been playing both of them all year on his bench. And he's playing Rashad White and Jordan Addison over them. Not too bad.
I don't hate it.
And the only other option would be Jerry. He's got Jerry Jeudy in the wide receiver three, but they're playing Cincinnati. Cincinnati's defense has been, awful.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerry Jeudy's been great.
But they're benching Winston.
I don't like that.
No. It's a bad time for Jerry Jeudy. I think he's been the wide receiver one in the past 4 weeks or something. Something like that.
Yeah, he's got 1,000 yards.
Since week 11, he's had 47, 23, 72, 23, 34. And now his like, if you're Rob, you're like, it couldn't come at a worse time. Yeah. You know,
I don't know what Cleveland's thinking with bench. Mm-hmm. Like, even though he's, you're not winning games anyway, why not have the most exciting player on your team playing?
Exactly. Just for the interviews, man. I'm all for the post-game. Like, this guy. He should always be on a team. Jameis Winston. I think he's my favorite player.
Yes.
Like, just after this year, just listen. I love it.
He's the ultimate glue guy.
Yeah.
He's
ridiculous. But he's a great ridiculous. You know?
Right.
Like, he ain't afraid of nothing. You know? And I love it.
Yeah. Rob's got some good matchups here. Derek's got Lamar against Pittsburgh, which is, I think that was his lowest scoring game this year, or one of his lowest scoring. It was his lowest scoring game this year. Going to Pittsburgh, they're at home, though. I wouldn't expect, a big game from him, but,
Still Lamar Jackson.
He's still Lamar Jackson. Right? You can't bench him. He's going to get 20-something points, at least. Yeah. But you're gonna have to win your game elsewhere. I think the way that comes is James Conner. James Conner, he's just a championship fantasy player. I don't know why people hate him.
I don't like him.
But he's just on championship teams.
No, who's Josh Jacobs is the championship team. He's been on two previous past champions teams, and if I would have polled 100 people, name the top, who do you think are the top 10 running backs in fantasy this year? Do you think, how many would name Chase Brown and James Conner? Like, how many would have put them in there? Both of those guys are.
James Conner's played all year. He's been pretty good all year.
Yeah, I think he's 10th or 8th.
8th.
Like,
so yeah, he's got a great matchup this week against Carolina.
I guess it's because Arizona kind of sucks. You don't really think.
Most of the time, James Conner's issue is just injury.
Yeah, I'm just saying this year alone, like, why isn't he getting, like, the pub of a, you know?
I just, like, everyone's heard of him. Just kind of.
Chase Brown's been a bright spot, you know, up and down.
I think they found their guy to replace Mixon. It took them, you know, half the year.
Who are you taking to win this?
This is tough. I think I'm going to take Derek. I like his matchups with running backs. I think Chase Brown's going to come through. I think Josh Jacobs is going to, like, they're going to be up against New Orleans a bunch, and they're just going to run the whole time. So I think those three running backs are just going to be too much for Rob. It's going to be high scoring, I think. Another thing with Josh Allen, like, I don't think Josh Allen is going to have the huge game. I think he's going to have I think he's going to have the 30-point game, not the 60-70 point game.
He's kind of, you could be right, because if, you know, they pound, but I mean, he's making a run for MVP. Do you think his team?
I think, like, he's got it. I don't think
really. A lot of people are saying they think Lamar Jackson may sneak up there.
I don't.
I mean, their numbers, like, I almost kind of say Lamar may deserve it.
He's got the numbers, but I think just because he won last year, that people are going to be more enticed to vote for the new guy than the other guy that hasn't had the MVP.
Sure.
And
I mean, his record is better, but.
And yeah, the record is better.
But I still think if you're Allen, you're like, I can't let up.
Right.
I have to, like.
But, like, I don't think it's going to matter too much in beating New England by 40 or 20.
Right, but I think they wouldn't pull him until his numbers are satisfactory for an MVP, which I think is good for Rob. I think if Rob had Lamar Jackson, I don't think he can beat Derek. And Derek had Josh Allen.
Mm.
So I think this week Josh Allen has an explosiveness.
Are you picking Rob?
No. I'm taking Derek because regardless of matchup, I like Derek's players. You know, through and through. I think it's going to take a lot for Derek to lose.
Like, yeah. I think the running backs are, their floors are just way too high. I think it's a lot safer to pick Derek. Like, I think Derek's probably going to score 240, 250.
Oh, yeah.
At the least.
Like, if Josh Allen has the 20-point games, I think he's over. Rob doesn't have much of a chance. Not to say that you can't have explosion out of Adams for 70, you know, outside of all that.
Yeah, I've said it before, like Rob has to take the win.
Yes. I feel that's right. Now, credit, Rob's team's good. It's good enough to do that. You know, like, not saying he can't, but.
And, like, I think it has the capability of beating Derek, for sure.
Yeah, and I think with Rob, you know, here we are, it's almost halftime. I think Nico Collins, he's going to need a lot more than 14 out of him.
Yeah, he's got 14, seven targets so far.
I think he's going to need about a 40-pointer out of him.
He's not, they're throwing to him,
mm-hmm.
but he's not, they're defending well.
Right.
So, all right, any further thoughts?
Real quick, Brad plays me in the toilet bowl.
Oh.
And right now, Brad has 21 to my 4. You know, I played the Thursday defense like an idiot, you know. But we'll see how far Brad can go. Like, how many points what do you think? Over under Brad scores 250 this week.
This week?
Yeah.
I'd say under.
Under 250?
I think under. Just based on what I think he's got Mixon and Worthy going right now. They've done less than Nico Collins, although those are tough matchups. Jalen Hurts going to Washington. I think that's going to be not super high scoring.
Okay.
I'd say that.
That's enough of the toilet bowl
talk. Yeah, I'm
keeping a little tracker on Brad's got 21.
Threw up in my mouth a little bit talking.
I'm not in it. I don't even. Let's move on.
All right. Well, that'll do it. We'll move on. We'll move on to the mailbag next. Don't have too much to talk. We just want to do some things about talking about the end of the season. We'll get to that next.
All right, everybody, we're gonna jump in the mailbag. It's a pretty short one. I saw this on the internet, so kind of curious on what everyone's thoughts of this would be. But I'll lay out the scenario, and this is what happened in another league, not our league. There were two players that was week 14, and they realized if they both tied, or if they tied that game, they're both in the playoffs. There was one team outside of the playoffs. All he needed was one of those to lose, and he was in automatically. So both teams benched their entire roster and tied the game, and they both got in. And that guy that he was upset, you know, went to Twitter or wherever, TikTok, and was like, this is wrong. What are your thoughts?
On that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it. I think you should be playing. It's kind of the same as, like, not starting your players when you're out and helping another team get in, you know, in that aspect. I think it's a lot more fun to play and get into the, like, I understand why you do it. It's like, if you want to be in the playoffs, then that's probably the thing to do. But I don't like it as the spirit of fantasy football.
That's kind of what the argument, it's not in the, most people's argument, it's not in the spirit of the league.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if in our league you can even do that.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe you have to. You can't have so many bench spots. But yeah, but like, from my experience with playing Magic, you can, like, just, like, in the last round of a tournament, you mm-hmm. can just, you're drawing with that person if it gets you both in. But there's a lot of talk with that within the community that it would be just better just not make that not allowed.
Right.
Like it makes, because you want to. You want to play, the object of the game is to play the games.
Right.
Like, and,
so what it, okay, let me, I'll spin, this didn't have, I don't know how they went about it, but say neither, both individuals realized it on their own and were like, I'm going to bench my players. I'm not going to talk to that team. I'm going to bench my players. And if he responds in kind and does the same, but we never discuss it, does that change it at all? Like, so there was no real collusion. It was, I did this. He saw it. Responded. Like, oh, if did that change it at all?
Not really for me. Like, the them talking about it or not talking about it doesn't really affect it. Like, if it's allowed to do that, you should be able to talk about it, I guess. But like, I think you want to, if you're in a friendly league, maybe if this is like, you know, it's $1,000 buy-in or something like that.
Yeah, I'm not sure what... It was a money league. I'm sure it was a couple hundred dollars.
Yeah. You know. It depends on how serious that league is. But, yeah. Like, And for someone that enjoys fantasy football, I don't like it.
So, you're the commissioner. What do you do when you see that those lineups are benched?
As commissioner, like, if I haven't, like, expressly told people not to do that, then I probably would allow it and then really? Change the rule
ban
next,
it.
You know, ban it next year. Like, it's, you know, that would be on my fault as a commissioner, not seeing that as an option.
Right. Yeah. I agree with that. I think that's a fair way to do it, but I think the way I would handle it is I would reach out to both players and be like, you need to start a lineup.
Yeah, you could just have them go to put in their lineups.
Yeah, I would mention, hey, put in a lineup. This is going to cause more fuss than it's worth for me in fantasy. Yeah.
But yeah, like if you didn't see that until after the games or the middle of the games, that could affect who you want. They would want to start.
Yes. Yeah. Now, the Thursday game had already played or something, I'd be like, I don't know. It's a weird thing that people would do. I get it. You know, everybody's trying to get, everybody's competitive, looking for an edge. They both, neither one hurt themselves or hurt the other, but it did hurt the one guy that obviously there was no one, it didn't matter, then who cares?
Yeah.
But it was just an interesting thing. I was like, man, it was very divided, you know, reading people's comments.
Like, yeah, if you allowed that, like, the thing is, like, at that point, if there was a team that was, like, had 9 or 10 wins early, like, say they were, like, 9-1 or 10-0, they could start losing intentionally to get people in who they want.
Yeah. No, that's a great point. Yeah. I think you just nip it in the bud.
Yeah.
Make them start lineups. Change the rules the following year, which I don't think we have to worry about anything like that, but it was just interesting. Yeah. But yeah, another thing you brought up earlier back to Brad. So it's the question would be, what is the better scenario? Maybe it's an easy answer, I'm not sure. If he would have made the playoffs, he would have played Derek this week.
Yeah, we were going over the scenarios, and if Brad had won, he almost for sure would have played against Derek the following in the quarterfinals, and he for sure would have lost by a billion points.
Yeah, even though he put up 265, yeah,
respectable showing.
But he would have lost to the 351, and which may have been better for Derek. You know, A, he beats Brad, and B, he has the most points against someone. So which is the better scenario? You just avoid that altogether? Like, you finally made it in, and all, like, oh, what are the odds? I play against a guy that goes off for three, you know? Like, I don't know how I would, like, sort that out in my head. I guess making the playoffs is always better than not making the playoffs.
I would think so, you know. But, like, I mean, in the toilet bowl, you can win that, you can win that plunger.
Yeah. It would so remove you. The plunger. Like, he would have taken the 351 to 265 and not had a plunger.
Yeah.
Or he still can get a plunger. So I guess you just put one in one hand and one in the other, and you kind of, you know, maybe he'll sleep on that. Yeah. I'm curious what he would say.
I think I would know, but we'll ask him next week when he comes on.
Yeah, we'll let him explain all his, you know, his strategy moving forward in the toilet bowl. If, you know, like where his head's at. I think that's probably the most interesting headline in the playoffs right now. Is where does Brad's run end?
Right. In the toilet. I think for him, I would say he would say it ended last week or 2 weeks ago.
But I think he's lying.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably still setting his line. We need to keep track of.
Maybe we'll pull up the waiver wire next week. See if there's a little sneak.
He'll pick up a defense sneaky, or two or something.
Like, hey, this guy's. No, he's lying to the league. That's all I got. Anything you want to discuss?
This is a little short thing. We talked about 2 weeks ago about who won the paddle or who was vying for the paddle. Jason was up with 3 whoopings, but like if any of the people with 2 won, they would have jumped him. But none of them won. Jeff got the whooping in the last week over Amanda. So we may have to double check math or check with Brad to make sure that that's correct, but we believe that Jason won the paddle, and he'll have that for all next year. And then I believe Amanda got whooped the most. I don't know if there's a trophy for that. There might be.
I've always thought you should be the person that wins the paddle should be able to hit the person that took the most whoopings. It only makes sense.
In this context, I don't know.
Maybe the commissioner can put up a poll or something.
Yeah.
But I think a more interesting question, do you think this is the first time that the person with the most whoopings and they didn't make the playoffs?
This is the first time that this has happened. We've had the paddle for 3 years. Derek won the first year, won the league. I won the second year, won the league.
Oh, man.
And then this one, Jason won it and didn't make the playoffs.
These aren't the type of records you want to break, you know, precedences anyway. Like,
that's kind of just, it's a signifier. We didn't have a truly dominant team this year. A lot of up and down this year.
It was, now, has the person who's received the most whoopings made the playoffs?
I'll have to... Look, I know Amanda won or got it this year. I think Rob got it last year. I don't remember who got it the year before.
Like had the most whooped the most.
Yeah. It might have been me. It might have been, I would have said that person's probably
not making
the playoffs, but I have to check with Brad, our legacy statistician.
Right. Well, Jason just blows everything out of the water because he whooped everybody, and he didn't. Not only did he not win the whole thing, he didn't even make the playoffs. Strange.
But so far, the Shaky Baby Lions is sweeping the awards.
Yeah. Like, God dang. Whatever. All right. Well, that's all I got. That'll do it for the mailbag. Good luck to the teams that are still standing.
Yep. Well, that'll do it from us. We'll be down to 2 teams after this week, and I'm sure that will be a matchup for the ages. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week. But until then, put a helmet on, keep practicing that smack talk, And remember, no one cares about your crappy fantasy football team.